Remember this portion of the story of God as it is written in the book of Revelation. Appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and it cast them down to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to be delivered, to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a son who is to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God, to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, so that they should feed her there 1,260 days. The dragon.
And the dragon and his angels fought back, but prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven.
And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast down into earth, and his angels were cast out with him.
The word of the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Be among us. Dwell in us. Help us to hear you and to obey you, that you might shine through us in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if when Camus coined the phrase create dangerously, if the kind of danger and ominous doings that we've just heard read about was in his mind or not. God definitely created dangerously creatures that had volition, who he gave the freedom to choose whether they would walk with him and obey him and honor him or make war against him. I love to use precise language, and I love this phrase, create dangerously, and I want to thank David Rieger, wherever you are, David, for, isn't it David? Yeah. Thank you, David, for lovingly pointing out to me yesterday in class that that I referred to dangerously as an adjective, and it is an adverb. And I really care about precision in language a lot more than it sometimes shows. But then I take my own advice and try to create dangerously, and so there ends up being a little slop to clean up sometimes. Danger. Get used to it. God created dangerously. He created dangerously when he created the angelic order. He gave them volition, and not all of them behaved responsibly. Some made war on him. He created the human order and gave us volition. And look what we did. And I think he continued that dangerous, risky posture. As I was listening in 701 yesterday morning to Andy Hill talking about the unbelievable risk that God took, not in choosing all the nations of the world, but choosing one tiny little nation of the world and betting the whole store on them and entrusting them to be the conduit of blessing to all the other nations. God created dangerously, and we are made in his image to reflect who he is and to continue his activities in the world. I love what Jim said the other day, that the two sacraments that the church has always honored and believed everywhere. Oh, people may argue about whether communion or Eucharist or baptism are sacraments or ordinances, what they are, what we believe about them. But the fact that Christ is the sacrament of God and that the church is the sacrament of Christ to the world are the two sacraments that have been universally held forever. And if we are going to be responsibly that sacrament to the world, we are going to have to create dangerously. Now, Jeremy Begbie might say it this way: we're going to need to recreate dangerously. We'll talk more about that in days to come. I'd like for you to see an image that was created by Richard Cummings. I've really come to appreciate so many of the artistic gifts in this community. Richard Cummings is a wonderful artist. And we were fortunate enough at Belmont University in Nashville to get an exhibit that came of his work, Anamnesis. And this piece was in that exhibit. It's called A Paradigm Shift 2. And was fortunate enough to visit that with my old friend Pam Markall, as well as Rob Still, an alumnus of the master's program, as well as the pastor of the Nashville House of Prayer. And we spent time walking through the exhibit together and lingering over the various images, and then went and chatted over coffee. Had very vigorous discussion. But I'm going to come back to this image in a moment, but I want to bounce back to the story I started telling yesterday about this dark period that happened in my life around 1991, where I was feeling such incredible rejection from my wife Janet in our home building enterprise, which we look back now on and laugh together about, my struggling with rejection that I felt from the CEO in my company, my boss, as well as the new pastor that was in our church. I was feeling such rejection. I had come to the wall, and I don't know how to live any other way than out loud, than dangerously. If I think it, sometimes it's a sad thing to admit. If I think it, I tend to say it. If I feel it, I tend to express it. And I pray for more wisdom in those areas. But because I had lived dangerously, created dangerously in those three arenas of my life, I'd come to the place in those dynamic relationships where I had hit the wall. I had hit it hard, and I was feeling awful. I'd never felt so rejected in my life. And I just had the counsel from my dear friend, who I was sure who was going to affirm me and equip me to go in and do battle with these three people that I loved, but with whom I was crossways. And he said, no, Daryl, I think you need to savor this like a fine wine. I was lying in bed that night. It was way into the wee hours. Janet was asleep on the pillow next to me. I began to just quietly, I wasn't making any noise, just tears rolling down my cheeks. I had nowhere to turn. I was at the wall. Poured my heart out to the Lord. Lord, show me what to do. Please help me, help me. And I heard whispered so beautifully in the inner recesses of my soul, he was despised and rejected of men. Now, what I heard in that was not like, oh, think of how much worse the rejection of Jesus was than mine. Of course it was. It wasn't that. It wasn't trivializing, minimizing my rejection. But I sensed the Lord's compassion for me in my rejection. Catharsis began to take place. And I began to just accept the wall with Janet, accept the wall with Stan, accept the wall with Bob, the pastor. And beautiful things happened. Those relationships all became clarified and productive and peaceful. Create dangerously. One of the things that was fun about the pop music business years ago is the promotion guys that got the records to call on radio stations with, we'd get in a new batch of records, a new release, and we would call each other if we were excited about something. I got a call in 1973 from the Columbia promo guy, and he said, are you tied up right now? I said, no. He said, well, do you have time to drive out to my office? I've got something you have got to hear. And so I drove out. What he played me was the first Bruce Springsteen recording, Greetings from Asbury Park, New Jersey. And Blinded by the Light was one of the songs on that recording. We were both stunned. We were sitting there just slack-jawed, stunned with what was coming out of the stereo. And Bruce Springsteen sings so boldly and assertively, Mama said, son, don't look into the sights of the sun. Oh, but Mama, that's where the fun is. Bruce Springsteen was creating dangerously, and he was talking about creating dangerously. Every wall is a door. Every wall is a door. We've got to get used to the danger. We've got to get used to the risk. We've got to get used to the taxation on us emotionally and spiritually. After seeing the paradigm shift to image in Richard's exhibit, I came home and I wrote a little review of what I'd seen and posted it on Facebook. And this is what I said. Ralph Waldo Emerson observed, every wall is a door. In Richard Cummings' paradigm shift too, we are on one side of a wall of apparent rubble, and square in the center of it, we are brought face to face with the childlike wonder of one who has somehow managed to pass through a kind of door or window from the other side of that wall. Or has the gazing face actually become one with the wall? And Richard, I don't know what you intended and what you depicted, but that's the conclusion I finally came to, that the childlike wonder came when the observer became one with the wall. Jesus is the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world. I think as a human, as the incarnate creator and human, I think that he found himself in the cross. I think he found himself fully realized in the wall, in the cross. Don't run from the wall. Don't try to break it down. Don't try to circumvent it. Don't ignore it. Find yourself in it. It is there where the glory is. That's where he is to be found. It had felt impossible to me in 1991, and whatever wall you're coming up against now may feel impossible to you. But God guarantees, faithful is the one who calls you, who also will do it.